Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Good morning and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we are working on your financial freedom. So today's show is going to be a precursor to my afternoon show. We're going to talk this morning about demographics and also some statistics around landlords, rental property owners, right, residential owners, rental owners. And that will lead us to our noon show where I'm going to have a guest on that breaks some of that demographic characteristic, so to speak. So I'm going to start with demographics. I want to give you some numbers around who, right, who the U.S. rental property owner is and how many units he or she manages or has managed, perhaps. And how do you compare, right? You can think about that as we go through the show. And does it matter, right? Does it matter if you don't exactly fit the overarching demographics that we talk about today? Guess what? It doesn't matter. There are plenty of people that are moving the bar and breaking that mold, right, that are maybe on the other side of that average. And we'll have one of those guests on later today. And then we're going to get into some statistics that I came across as I was researching this topic of demographics. And just simply put, there are some interesting survey results around rental owners and their operations. And based on what I've read, some of the numbers, you could probably be operating a little bit better if this is you. For example, do you want to hear how many rental owners go out and change light bulbs for their residents? It is a surprisingly high number. So stay tuned. We'll get to that later in the show. And just as a footnote, the sources, I want to footnote the sources now. They're pretty broad. A lot of these data are coming from screening sites, like, you know, places you might go to vet, right, do the background check on your applicants. They're coming from property management sites, as well as electronic payment sites, like rent collection sites, right? These all have a vested interest in understanding us, you and me, right, the residential rental property owner. So they've done some due diligence. This data comes from varying time periods, from as early as 2015 to I think the most recent was 2018. This data tends to be a little bit lagging at times, and it's not always refreshed every year necessarily. So keep that in mind. So I'm going to start with demographics and, you know, give this some thought. If you're listening and you are a rental owner already, who are you, right? Are you ultra wealthy? Are you rich? Maybe middle class, right? Are you young, old? I'm in my mid-40s. I still, you know, I feel pretty darn young. Are you male or female, man or woman, right? Maybe you're single. Maybe you're married. Are you doing this jointly with your spouse, or maybe they just let you do your thing? I see that quite a bit. I see the power couples out there, the husband-wife power team, boyfriend-girlfriend power team, otherwise. And then there are the husbands or the wives that are just doing this on their own. That's okay, right? So where do you sit? And we'll get a little bit more into those demographics. But then picture as well, what is your stereotypical in your head, your stereotype of the landlord, right? Maybe it's that slumlord, right? Sometimes we have a bad reputation out there, and there are some bad actors, and we want to correct that, right? We want to be good actors. We want to be good app operators, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, you know, in the second half of the show. But what do you picture for, you know, maybe it's that old guy, right? Some wealthy old guy, right? For me, I'll tell you who I picture. I picture Herr Vogelsang. Right, Mr. Vogelsang. he was the landlord the last time that my wife and I lived in Germany. So we lived out in the country. I worked for a farm equipment manufacturer at the time, and we rented from him for about 5 years. This is from about 2006 to late 2010. It was a giant duplex out in the country. It was very, very inexpensive to lease out there. You know, four stories. It had a basement and then three stories above ground. Skinny, right? Skinny buildings. They don't have quite as much land, quite as much spread as we have here in Texas. So we rented this duplex. And just as an interesting sidebar, in that country, when you move into a rental unit, there is no kitchen. There are no cabinets. There is no sink. There is no oven or stove. There are no fridges. There are no lights anywhere in the place. And if a heavy smoker just moved out, it has not been freshly painted. We had to do all of that. Different concept, totally different concept. But Mr. Vogelsang, or Mr. Birdsong, if you translate it literally from German, he was an old guy, old German guy, a farmer. In fact, we were out in the country, and he had made this investment, had several duplexes built on our street. So they were newer builds, probably 80s. And he drove a nice BMW, right? He's German, Bavarian Motor Works. Of course, he's driving a BMW, but he towed a horse trailer behind it with his tile flooring, with his materials, whatever supplies he needed to do to fulfill whatever repair or maintenance requests that we had. So it was a kind of a conflicting image there. That's who I have in my head, okay? But who is it really? Right here in the U.S. anyhow, that was in Germany. What do the demographics look like? Roughly, let's start big picture, right? Roughly how many rental owners are there? Okay, we'll look more closely at unit count, like, you know, how many units does each person on average have, that sort of thing, a little bit later. But just big picture, if you go to the IRS, they did a research on this a couple years back, 10.6 million tax filers indicated on their 1040s that they source some portion of their income from rental investments, rental property. You know, they file the Schedule E, essentially. So someone went to that source, part of the HUD organization did, and pinned it down, 10.6 million tax filers. Now, that's going to point towards, of course, individual filers, right? Because if they're owned in a corporation, an LLC, something like that, that's going to be filed differently and will hit that person's tax return as a K-1. Another point of interest, U.S. Census put 16.7 million properties with over 22 million units that are owned by what they're calling mom-and-pop owners, which, you know, maybe you think of me as a mom and pop, right? We've got a small portfolio of single family houses, right? So 16.7 million properties across the U.S. Another U.S. Census stat, 25.8 million are owned by businesses or partnerships. So that points to what I just mentioned around LLCs. And a lot of those are going to represent the very syndications, right, that our members at Lifestyles Unlimited, our lead investors, are putting together, that I, as a passive investor, get into, right? So I'm indirectly an owner in that number somewhere, right, as part of that syndication. So when we come back, I want to give you some more demographics around age, maybe a little bit around ethnicity, married, unmarried, that sort of thing, so you can fulfill that picture. Stay tuned.
Del Wamsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in the real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and on today's show, we're taking a look, first of all, at some investor demographics. You're a rental owner. Who are you, right? What is your big picture, right? We looked a little bit at the broader demographics across the U.S., And I want to start to dial that down a little bit. And if you're sitting there listening to this and thinking, well, I don't really match that demographic. I don't know. This just, it doesn't sound like it's going to work for me. Flip the coin over and keep in mind, there are people out there that are outside of this main picture. I want you to know the bigger picture, right? So you understand what that looks like. And then the bigger takeaway, we'll get to that later, is all those other people that don't fit in that box that are doing this, right? And we'll have a guest later on today who is exactly that person, right? So stick around for that. And if you have any questions today, you can give me a call. The number here is 855-497-4335 or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. So across the U.S., we've got over 16.7 million properties comprising 22.7 million units, right? That could be a duplex, would be the property with two doors, for example, that are owned by what they're calling mom and pop owners, right? You and me, right? That's per the U.S. Census. Another 25.8 million units are owned by businesses, right? Or partnerships. And that's typically going to be multifamily. And again, like I said, a lot of these represent deals that our membership base is doing in terms of apartment syndications or lead deals, right? As part of the Lifestyles Unlimited ecosystem. I had the opportunity to get into a couple of passive deals last year and shift from that single family, quote unquote, mom and pop ownership model, right, into what we want to do longer term, which is apartments. And that's a general track that we see at Lifestyles. You know, people start investing in single family to build up that capital to then shift into apartments. Some people start straight away with apartments. It all depends on where you are personally when you begin. So let's take a look at some other interesting demographics here. Age. And this is a big one, I think. I think a lot of people out there maybe discount themselves when they're younger. Maybe don't even think about this at all. I've got a couple of sources here. TransUnion, an app they have called My Smart Move. This is a couple years ago. Indicated 44% of rental owners are ages 18 to 34. So in that younger subset, I guess that would be millennials. And then 56% are over 35. Well, that's a pretty broad category. So I wanted to break that down a little better. There was a State of the Independent Landlords survey done by a company called Avail, which is now owned by Realtor.com. And this was a year later in 2017. Their sample size was not as large as I like. It was a little bit south of 500. Keep that in mind as well. But they've got a number of interesting charts. And one of these is simply as they asked, how old are you? Right? 21 to 29. 5.9% of respondents were in that age group of rental owners. 30 to 39, almost 19%, right? If I bucket myself in my 40s all the way up to the 70s plus, we comprise 75%, right? Break that down a little bit, maybe 50 to 70, that's about half of the respondents. So we are seeing a tendency towards that older group, right? When I asked you earlier, who do you picture? Is it the older guy, right? That kind of correlates here a little bit with these age brackets, but keep in mind, we got folks 21 to 29 doing this. We got folks in the early 30s doing this. My guest later just turned 30, right? So we're really talking younger generation getting into this. I was 38 when I joined Lifestyles, bought my first house as the time ticked away by the time I was 39. So that gives you a little bit of an idea around age. And my bigger point here is, no, you don't have to be in that 50, 60, 70 age bucket to get your rental house. You can do that in your 20s. I know someone that bought their first one when they were 19. You know, they saw the model, they heard the message, they understood, and got started early. And most common regret that I hear from other investors like myself is, I wish I had started earlier. We just didn't even know, my wife and I, you know. It took this very radio program, driving around Saturdays and Sundays, catching this, you know, week in, week out, to finally realize, you know, that is what we should be doing. And eventually we did make that jump. What about gender? This is an interesting one as well. And this is per Cozy. It's a property management type site. They had a little bit bigger sample set, 3,200 respondents, a little bit more statistically significant. Now, this was drawn from their database of users. So that maybe tells you a little bit something. Maybe they're a little more sophisticated because they've made that shift to a type of online management. But 85% are male. 15% are female. So if you're out there, you're a woman in the audience listening and you're thinking, oh, man, that's a man's world. I'll tell you, 15% are female. My guest later today is a female. And when I go to the Lifestyles Unlimited case studies, when we have those in person, I think we have a little bit different mix there. I think we're a little bit more inclusive. I think we're a little bit more broader reaching as to our membership base. But nationally, that's how it tends to shake out. Now, I suspect in some cases these are like my wife and I, right? We were that power couple when we started, always going to the events together. Then our son came along and we had to divide and conquer. And I tended to be the one to go out, probably more visibly the male in this case, because she's at home with the child. I think there's some of that that plays in here as well. But again, that is the statistic, at least as of 2015. 62% are married, 38% are unmarried. I suspect that's maybe in that younger generation, maybe in the older, don't know, but just gives you a little bit of that bigger picture there. Again, big point for you, though. Whether you're male or female, we see both sides. We see both genders getting involved and doing wonderful, wonderful stuff. A lot of our great lead investors are women as well. Let's move on to ethnicity. This is per Urban Wire, a recent study. They looked at some U.S. Census data. Actually, let me start with some U.S. Census data. I want to give you just the broader kind of demographic of the U.S. population to give some context. And this is white, non-Hispanic. If you look at the broader just U.S. population, right, we're at about 60%. Black, we're at about 13.4%. Hispanic, 18.5%. Other, 8%. So that gives you some context then when you look at the rental owner demographics as it plays out per ethnicity. And it's interesting because they broke this down by unit counts, okay? Single family, so one door, one unit. Owners tend to be a little bit more on the white side, right? 76% are white, 7.9% are black, 9.6% are Hispanic. So we see a little bit overweighting on the, you know, on the white side there, 6.5% are others. But then you get up into the 2 to 4 doors, which might be a duplex, triplex, quad, right? Now those finance like single family properties. We view those as single family in terms of financing, but they are small, multifamily essentially. It changes a little bit. We're down to 61.7% are white, 13.2% are black, which closely parallels the broader U.S. demographic, 14.9% are Hispanic, and then the rest are fall into others, whatever other. They didn't define that for me. So when you hear all of these stats that I'm throwing out there, that almost sounds like my German landlord, right? Old guy, white guy, you know, guy. Does it have to be, though? No, absolutely not. Like I said, stick around later for my interview with a young woman named Katie. She's from here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. As I indicated, she is a woman, as you may have guessed, and she is a millennial, right? So she's that other picture, right? And she just bought her first single-family rental when she was still in her 20s, in the middle of a pandemic, when everyone else was panicking. She took down this house, and it's got phenomenal numbers. We'll get into those a little bit. And finally, last bit of numbers for you. What about the number of units owned? This is an interesting one for me because I like to benchmark myself. I always like going to the case studies and talking to Doug, how many units are you up to? Talking to Matt, how many units are you up to? Talking to Jennifer, how many units are you up to? And that kind of keeps me in the race, keeps me going. So we're going to come back from the break here and I'm going to get into that unit count. And then we're going to get into some of the interesting statistics about how you are managing or not your property. So stay tuned.
And now a word on retirement from Del Wamsley.
The average person thought they'd retire at 59 and a half, 60. Then they said 64. Then it was 65. Then it was 66. Then all of a sudden they jump right to 70. 70 is the new 59. 70 is the new 64. Then it was, you know, hey, most people are going to work all the way into their 80s.
Do you really want to work in your 80s? Or would you like to retire in 5 years or less? Find out how on Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Andy Webb, and we're taking a look at some numbers, some demographics across the U.S. Who are our rental owners in the United States? Who owns and operates the single-family houses, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, maybe even apartment complexes, apartment communities? And we've taken a look already at some of the bigger picture, just the unit count across the nation. How many are there? It's kind of interesting to hear. What does that look like in terms of age? How old are the typical rental owners out there? What ethnicity and gender, that sort of thing. And one takeaway for you, if you don't fit any of those boxes, that's perfectly okay, because we got a lot of operators within Lifestyles Unlimited that are far from those particular averages, let's say. It really comes down to you as an individual. What do you want to do? What are your goals? What kind of a portfolio do you want to build? For example, here's a good one. We're going to get into unit number of units owned, kind of by investor here. And again, as I was saying ahead of the break, this one always interests me because I like to benchmark myself to other people. So typically when I would go to the case studies, you know, I'd talk with Doug. I've got 2 units. Doug has 6 units. All right. Okay. I like Doug. I'm going to try to catch up to him. Eventually, we almost got to him, and now he's at 11. Like, okay, got to keep working. Just kind of a benchmark, a target to work towards, and keeps us going. Now, at some point, we finally caught up to Doug because he started selling and moved into multifamily. So there you go. That's one way to do it, I guess. But a good question out there was, what is your ideal portfolio size? Interestingly, 11% of people said, well, we just want one. You know, I guess it's a little bit easier to manage, I suppose. 35% said 2 to 5 units. Okay, 2 to 5 doors. That could be 2 to 5 houses, or maybe a couple of duplexes, for example. Then it drops a little bit, that 6 to 10 range. Fewer people are interested in having that as a target, about 17%. And then it pops back up again. A lot of people, about a quarter of respondents, want to be north of 11 units. And it may seem counterintuitive. I find that the more properties you add to your portfolio, it actually becomes easier to manage. You might sit this, and we're in single family houses, right, that are spread across DFW. Seems like it might be difficult, but when we do self-manage, but the more you add, that you do start to achieve some synergies, let's say, not like you're going to get in multifamily when you have all 16, 25, 40, 100, 200 doors on one property. Totally different ballgame. But for the single family investor, I do find that the more you get into your portfolio, the more cash flow you're kicking off, right? You start to pay people. You start, stop doing things yourselves and start paying, you know, for other folks to take care of business for you. Maybe even hire a property manager. It gets a lot easier that way. So that's the ideal portfolio. But what are we seeing? So here, going back to TransUnion, they say that on average, a rental owner has 3 units. Okay, 3 units. Again, that could be a single triplex or 3 single-family houses. Another site, the operated by Cozy, said 50%. This kind of ties to what we saw in ideal unit count. 50% own one property. Now, you have to ask yourself, where did those units come from? Did a show a couple weeks back with Mark and Julie. They wound up being accidental landlords. And a lot of the folks in that 50% count are just that. They're accidental landlords because maybe they got married, combined households, kept that other house. Maybe they moved. I had an interview with one of our single family mentors here in DFW. She did that very thing. Every time she moved for her job, she kept her house. Now, that was not accidental. That was intentional. But it's kind of in that same genre, I would say. And she just kept those houses. And eventually figured out, wow, this is powerful. And then she found lifestyles and really got going. Maybe it's an inherited property. There are a lot of those out there. And those people often fall into that category of, I don't even want to have this rental, right? So good folks to talk to about buying that house, just like Mark and Julie did eventually with one of their neighbor rental owners there. So 50% own just one, 18% own 2, 6% own 3. It's interesting because it starts that percentage count starts very high and it starts to decline if you were to graph this. And then again, it pops back up north of 4. They bucket it as 4 to 25, kind of a broad bucket there if you ask me. But I find that as people do get more units, they find that it does get easier. And then they can really go. Now, the other side of the coin is some people get to that 3-unit count and they become complacent. They pick up an extra $1,200 a month, maybe $1,600, maybe $2,000, and they get comfortable. And I get that too. It's nice to have that extra income. It helps, especially if you have kids, if you've got older parents you're taking care of, whatever you're dealing with. It's easy to become complacent. I would encourage you to push forward. In fact, this is where you may need a mentor to help you keep going, to really push on you, a little further, a little harder, to go a little farther because they see your potential. You just get comfortable, complacent. But boy, once you start to get past that little bottom there, you can really, really take off. And I'll tell you, that's one thing that really is helpful with Lifestyles Unlimited that always helped me, and I've mentioned this a couple times now, are the case studies. Not just talking to Doug and Matthew and the other folks out there, but going there and actually hearing those case studies, right, presented by single family investors and multifamily investors and getting inspired and seeing their numbers. Now, we've seen some numbers, right? I threw a lot of numbers at you. I get that. Around demographics, just to kind of paint the broad picture, the big picture of who that rental owner is, where the, you know, unit counts, what they're dealing with, that sort of thing, just to give you that idea. But then we go to the case studies and we see who these people really are, right? We put a name and a face to that, perhaps to that demographic. We hear where they're investing, you know, we hear what they're investing in. And more importantly, you're going to find that case study presenter that really resonates with you. Their story is very similar to your story, right? My guest later today, Katie, millennial female doing it by herself in the middle of a pandemic. You know, does that case study, she presented at a case study earlier or late last year was where I first, quote unquote, met her. Does that resonate with you? Years ago, single mom got up there, three kids. I forget her name now, but she was just pushing through for her kids to buy back her time, to be able to give her kids a better life. That's going to resonate with a lot of people. The post-retirement investor, right? That just doesn't have quite enough retirement income. Going to get up there and present. Maybe resonates with you. The family with seven kids. You get the picture. You go to the case study and you hear that story. And you realize, okay, that's not that demographic that I had pictured in my head of the U.S. rental owner. Totally different picture. And that's me. And that could be me. And that's the real beauty of the case studies. And in fact, we have those case studies going on live online monthly now. I like to attend those here in Dallas-Fort Worth where I am. We have them in San Antonio, in Central Texas, also South Texas, and nationally. And if you're interested in attending one of those case studies, send me an email. You can email me at askandy@luinc.com, and I can make sure you get an invitation to one of those. But it really is important to go and hear these stories. They won't all resonate with you. You know, some guy might have started with buckets of cash. Great. Got into multifamily. That wasn't where I started. That is not where I started. But I went to the case studies, and I heard the story of the young man that was in my position. And that started. That really started the benchmarking for me. That guy's doing what I want to do. I want to get to where he is. And eventually I did. And then next benchmark came along, right? Someone else resonated with me, and so it goes. So point is, you need to find that model, I guess is essentially what I'm saying, that model that represents what you are and what you can be, right? The demographics I gave earlier, just again, to paint the bigger picture, and then essentially to dismiss that. Mr. Vogelsang in Germany is not representative. Well, he's in Germany, right? But is not representative of the landlord, right? Necessarily. Right. We looked at some of the age brackets. We looked at the gender. We looked at the ethnicity. I looked at a couple of other things, but we have plenty of people operating outside of that profile, so to speak. So that's the big message. Now, I want to shift gears and get into some interesting statistics that came alongside my research here as I was putting together the show around demographics. And some of these will help you if you are already an owner or you're thinking about getting started. You're going to want to put your business together right. I learned some interesting stuff that folks are doing out there, and I would say doing wrong. Changing light bulbs. How many owners do you think are changing light bulbs for their residents? Stay tuned. We'll hit that number and a couple others when we come back. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you never had the time. This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the seven principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. And the first three segments of the show, we looked at some demographics. Who is the U.S. rental owner, right? So you can compare yourself. Where do I fit into that box? Do I fit into that box? Do I need to fit into that box? The resounding answer to that question is absolutely not. You know, we got a lot of people outside of that, you know, standard demographic that are operating with us at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm going to have a guest on my show later today that is absolutely outside of that, which you may stereotypically picture as the American landlord, the American rental owner. So I wanted you to have the picture and understand, you know, it may not be relevant to you. What's more relevant is getting out there and finding those people that are like you and that are doing this. And a great place to do that is at our case studies. I'm going to give you my email one more time. If you're interested in joining us for one of those, email me. It's askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. I just find going to these, number one, it's inspirational. Number two, I get to see other people's numbers, the deals that they're doing, the cash on cash return, the rental amount, the kind of rehab they did, what level of rehab, how much cash out of pocket into the deal, and so on. Helps me better reset, right, as the market changes. Or if I'm looking at a new market, right, I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth, if I want to get into San Antonio, Houston, Georgia, Phoenix, wherever, I can see those numbers and it helps me get a better picture. But more importantly, I think is that inspiration and finding that person that really resonates with you, because they're like you, right? You can model yourself after them and start to see that it's possible, right? So if you're a female and you're a millennial, you're going to want to catch the show with Katie at noon today. Alternatively, this show, that show, those will be archived at our website. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click on the radio or the podcast tab to get to those. Also, you can go to YouTube and subscribe. Get that feed as these get posted on YouTube as well. So moving on, away from the demographics and into some interesting statistics that I found as part of my research here. This was part of the Avail analysis. And again, they were recently bought by Realtor.com. A couple of different notions here that we're going to explore. The first one that I want to give you that they stated here is that 50%, half of all landlords manage their own properties. That's their stat. I found another one that quoted 73% are self-managing, right? Depends on where in that bucket you are, how many units you have. You over time start to give that up perhaps to a property manager, or maybe you get into multifamily where you own it, you have a property manager on site, that sort of thing. But generally somewhere between 50 and 73% are self-managing. I do. And I'm going to take issue with some of these other numbers that you're going to hear here. I'm telling you now, these people are not operating quite optimally. Okay, so keep that in mind. Another interesting one they came up with here is that landlords have an average income of $97,000 a year. Now, that's not just from their rental portfolio, according to this. These are folks that are working, you know, have maybe double income coming into the household as well as their rentals. It's just an average, you know, but I think it points to a higher income, right, which is good to know. Interestingly, another statistic I saw from another study said, it asked the question, do you have a career outside of being a landlord? And almost 60% said, yes, I'm working full time. That's how I was when I started. Another 16% are part time. That's where I am. My wife is fully retired. And then 24% said no. So I think you're seeing the people moving along the spectrum there. As their unit counts go up, then they're able to downshift and maybe stop altogether. And eventually maybe they find other occupations, other things to do. My wife actually did go back part-time with someone in the real estate industry, something she wanted to do, not something she had to do, and does a lot of stuff with her free time, volunteering for local organizations, which is great. So it gives you an idea, though. A lot of people start out full-time. Well, you have to do that. Supplement, move to part-time, and then fully retire. Here's another interesting one. Something to keep in mind as we see what happens as we move forward with the pandemic and all of the government spending. And who knows, do we get inflation? Do we get deflation? What's going to happen? Landlords have raised rents an average of 31% since 2010. Inflation in that same time period was 20.75%. So we've beaten, the rental owner has beaten inflation over that 10-year period. Why? We buy that house. We put a fixed rate mortgage into place right now at what, 3%, 4%, somewhere around there. It's locked in. Our monthly payment is locked in. And as inflation starts to grow, we're sitting on that fixed payment. Our rents can continue to go up. Sure, maybe our property taxes do. Maybe our values, which equates to equity, does as well. But we're able to have a great, great inflation hedge as a result of that. Now let's move on to some of that more operational type stuff here. And I got to get first and foremost to the notion of rental owners changing light bulbs for their residents. How many do you think? 13%. Double digit number there. I was taken aback. I have never done that. I do not intend to do that, but 13%. Now, maybe they're using that as a reason to get into the property to see how things are looking, I suppose. More commonly, a rental owner may have a air filter for the AC unit, an air filter maintenance program whereby they come by periodically and change that out. You know, you can do that. That gives you access to the house as well. But if you're going out there and you're changing light bulbs, you're doing something wrong, just simply put. Now, another statistic says that only 89% of landlords cover property repair costs. Only, that seems like a high number. That means that the other 11% are having their residents pay. I would tell you that's a little bit risky, by the way, because guess what they don't want to do? They do not want to pay to repair that leaky sink. And eventually, especially if you're in a pier and beam house, that gets out of control and you have other downstream, no pun intended there, but downstream issues that come up as well. So coupled with the next stat, landlords handle, and I take big issue with this one, landlords handle 6 repair calls a year from residents. Okay, a couple things in that statement. Number one, you shouldn't be taking repair calls at all, right? You should have all maintenance requests come in writing. Our lease states it very clearly. If you call me, I'm going to tell you to put it in writing because I want it documented, and I want to get you trained to send me those emails. If you're using an automated system, even better, right? Some sort of a portal. Don't take phone calls for that, okay? Unless it's an emergency. But 6 repair calls a year. Something's going on there. These operators that they're talking to, they're not following the Lifestyles model, which is best product, best price. When we take down a house or an apartment community, something in between, duplex, triplex, quad, and so on, we go in and we fix everything that we think is going to be a problem in the next handful of years so that we don't have 6 repair requests or calls or whatever a year. That's a crazy number. If I look back at our activity in 2020, 2019, it was nothing like that. So a lot of folks have that notion in mind, tenants, taxes, and toilets, right? Tenants and toilets. I don't want that repair call at midnight. Well, by operating correctly, by operating well, like we do at Lifestyles, best product, best price, you address everything up front, and we just don't have that maintenance issue. Sure, some things come up here and there, but on the whole, nothing like what I'm seeing in these numbers here. Now, if something does come up, and it's something that I should have fixed, or my AC unit just had a problem, of course I'm going to cover that. So that would fall in that 89% of landlords covering or owners covering property repair costs. If you, my resident, cause the problem, well, I'll bill it back. Okay, and that's in my lease. Should be in your lease as well. But when it comes back to that 13%, I'm just pulling my hair out right now. I know you can't see it, but I am. 13% of owners changing light bulbs. If you're in that situation and you're starting to get a little frustrated, you know, one of the other stats I saw asked how many hours a week do you spend on tasks related to your rental? And this is not from Lifestyles. This is from a broader base. And a good 26% say less than 1 hour. And it ticks up from there. And I can guarantee you that on the higher end of that spectrum, those are not people that are following our model of best product, best price, getting in there and fixing everything up front. If you do that, this business is smooth. It really is. Here's another one where you could improve. When it comes to rent collection, 78%, almost 80% of rental owners are collecting personal checks. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? That takes time out of your day, or you got to wait for the mail. Get online, get some sort of an electronic platform. There's so much out there now that will save you a lot of time. I was looking back just this past year. Years ago, I set up my utilities here where I live to come out of a particular bank account. When they stopped paying me interest, I moved my funds. But I kept paying out of that bank account. So every month I had to think, I had a calendar reminder, move money into that account so my water bill can get paid. Finally, last year, I wised up. I said, why am I doing this? I just changed the payment to come out of the more active account. It's that easy. If you're collecting checks, get automated. It's that easy. So we've heard a lot of great demographic statistics, a lot of numbers today. If you missed anything and want to catch back up, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, go to the radio tab, click on the podcasts, and stick around. Tune in at noon. I'll have Katie on to address some of that other demographic group out there that is investing and doing great things. Hey, thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
For listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.